Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
People, it's Al Martin, your host of WKAR's Current Sports, and I am coming to you all on this September 2nd, 2020. I hope everyone out there is doing well. You know, I know it's a crazy, crazy time that we're in. I say that every single time I open up the mic to say hello to you all, but we're all getting through this together. And you know what? I opened up my Facebook this morning, and you guys know, for those who are on Facebook, you guys know that, you know, just about every day, Facebook will share a memory of something that you posted on this day on the Facebook platform. And, you know, I got up this morning after wiping out the crust in my eyes and, you know, of course, checking Instagram. That's such a bad habit. I need to stop that, right? But after checking Instagram, I immediately go to Facebook. That's the routine for many of us. Wake up, immediately grab our phone and begin to swipe at every notification that we have and check every social media notification that we have. And I went to Facebook and I saw that on this day, 3 years ago, around this time, I was in the press box of Spartan Stadium getting ready for yet another Michigan State football season. I had taken a picture on this day 3 years ago of myself in the press box, you know, looking at and watching from above, you know, that bird's eye press box view of the Michigan State football opener. It was just an unreal day, just beautiful, beautiful day. The sun was out, you know, Spartan Stadium about at 80% capacity, and just fans ready and excited for another MSU football season. So, yeah, that's what we were doing on that day 3 years ago. On this day, I should say, 3 years ago, Spartan fans. Pretty wild, right? Pretty wild. And I can't lie. I mean, I'm staring at the picture right now as I talk to you all, and I'm very nostalgic right now. And I really do wish we were in a different place, but you know, it's a tough, tough year, and, you know, we won't see college football in the Big Ten until the spring of 2021, and I know it's going to be tough. We're going to get through this together, and we just got to keep our heads about us. You know, find different ways to be productive. Find a routine that doesn't allow your mind to become idle, that doesn't allow your mind to just kind of sit there and overthink things, right? Because that can happen during a moment like this, all right? So just wanted to share that memory with you all, and you know, it just kind of hammers home just how crazy of a time this is for all of us. And I really hope you and yours are staying safe, staying healthy, you know, not just physically, but mentally as well. All right. So what do we have cooking on today's current sports? Well, speaking of college football, I do want to talk about what the Big Ten is thinking right now in terms of a timeline. You know, spring of 2021 right now is what they're saying, but that doesn't mean that is set in stone. I mean, it's a fluid conversation. You know, there have been talks about, okay, could we see a, you know, beginning of January beginning for the Big Ten college football season? You know, will we see it start at the beginning of the year, right when 2021 turns that new calendar year? And even possibly the Big Ten beginning around Thanksgiving. Yeah, that chatter really ramped up last week. And it seems as though the Big Ten has also had conversations with the man who holds the most important position in our nation. That's right. The president of the United States, President Donald Trump, has even spoken with the Big Ten about a timetable of return for college football. So I'm going to give you all of those updates. You're going to get my thoughts on that. I also have an update when it concerns a report that pinpoints 8 people who are said to have failed in their reporting of Dr. Larry Nassar, who will spend the rest of his life behind bars, and deservingly so, for the abuse of young women and girls, young gymnasts. And also Dr. William Strample, who enabled that behavior as the dean of osteopathic medicine at Michigan State University. He was the boss of Larry Nassar, and both had dirty, dirty hands. I mean, gosh. But this report, again, pinpoints 8 people that failed to report these two. I'm going to give you details on that. And a shocking statement made this week by a former Michigan State football player. Actually, the news broke as I'm recording this right now. The news broke about 20 minutes ago, and it's a little after 10 a.m. right now. And it's got a lot of people talking, a lot of people very upset. And there are some people that actually are siding with this former MSU quarterback. It's just very shocking coming from him, because you don't hear him make statements like this, especially as it pertains to what we're all going through right now. I'll explain in just a minute. Don't worry. You'll get clarification in just a moment. And also a now, I want to say, former Michigan State men's basketball player. He finds himself in a bit of hot water due to, I'll explain all of this. It's just a lot of controversial stories today on today's current sports. So we'll get to all of that. Just hang tight. I'm going to clarify all of this, all right? But if you want to be a part of the show, you guys know that you can pick up that phone, you can call us and leave us a voicemail. You know, we can't take live callers yet, still. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call. Leave us a voice message there. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Or tweet the show at WKAR News. So again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, let's start here. Michigan State University has identified more than 40 people and members of a university advisory council who may have known about Larry Nassar's and William Strample's crimes. although most will not face discipline, according to a new report. Now, the United States Department of Education Office for Civil Rights required MSU to conduct an investigation to identify current and former employees who may have known about concerns involving the conduct of Nasser, now a convicted sex offender who abused hundreds of girls and women, and Strample, the former dean for the College of Osteopathic Medicine and one of Nasser's bosses. A jury convicted Strample on charges of willful neglect of duty related to Nasser and misconduct as a public official. Now, as MSU reported on that investigation released yesterday, it says the university identified 8 individuals and an unspecified number of people on an advisory council for the College of Osteopathic Medicine, all who failed to report after receiving notice of potential sexual misconduct by either Nasser or Strample from various sources. So, of 42 people identified by MSU as possibly knowing about the abuse, university officials cleared 34. University reports released on Tuesday say those individuals hadn't received enough information to potentially report sexual misconduct, or that their actions did not violate university policy at the time. But as you see, that's a lot of people, right? It's a lot of people that were caught in the crosshairs and possibly could have done something. And isn't it amazing that all of these people who are being pinpointed, that could have possibly done something. And again, they cleared 34. But there are still 8 that really could have said something. Those individuals could have stopped a lot of pain. I'll have more on that later on this hour, but I just want you to think about that. And it's a lesson to us all. If you see something, say something. If you have any feeling that something wrong is happening, really think about speaking up and notifying somebody, because you could be the hero. You really could. But that is a really unnerving revelation coming out of that investigation. All right, now from that troubling MSU story to this troubling MSU story. Michigan State University's officials recommended banning a former basketball player from the university for violating its sexual misconduct policy. This is according to ESPN's reporting. Now, MSU's Office of Institutional Equity determined that Brock Washington sexually assaulted a woman. Now, MSU spokesperson Emily Garrett would not confirm ESPN's report, saying the appeals process was still underway. Now, Washington has 10 days to appeal the decision. He is no longer a student at MSU, Garrett said. He did not register for fall or summer classes. MSU head basketball coach Tom Izzo suspended Washington from the team in January with no explanation. Now, Washington's attorney, who is named as Mary Chartier, said they, quote, absolutely, end quote, plan to appeal the university's finding. She said Washington was not given a hearing where he was allowed to question a witness. Quote, Mr. Washington is innocent of this allegation. He was denied basic due process, and then this erroneous decision was issued. Again, that coming from Washington's attorney in an email. So, and you know, we've been following that Brock Washington story for a while now, you know, since last season, and it kind of went quiet, and this is the latest as it pertains to that. But you know, it amazes me that, you know, Tom Izzo still decided to have Brock Washington on the MSU basketball roster. You know, that's something I don't really understand. again, I'm not Tom Izzo. I'm not the head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, but it is something that I just kind of just scratch my head about, because it's not like Brock Washington, no knock to him. But, I mean, Brock Washington isn't like Cassius Winston or Xavier Tillman. Now, look, I also say that I don't know what Brock is doing behind the scenes. Maybe, you know, he's not, and I talk to these players all the time. I cover the team. I don't really hear Brock's name brought up as, you know, being one of the guys behind the scenes who is one of the leaders, is one of the motivational factors that helped the Spartans. But look, he was on the team for a reason, I guess. But I don't understand why you would still put this kind of this perceived negative spotlight from the masses on your program all over a player who doesn't play that much. I don't understand that. You know, Brock Washington doesn't average, not he doesn't average like 2 minutes a game. I just didn't understand that. But hey, again, I'm not the head coach of the basketball team. So we'll see how that one plays out. As I brought to you on yesterday's Current Sports, the University of Michigan opened up about the potential losses that are coming due to not having Big Ten fall college sports. And Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel has been very candid. He came out and said that, look, yeah, we're seeing a potential loss of around $100 million. That's huge. That's a lot of money, right? So I brought to you guys that story yesterday, and I've got an update there. Due to Michigan's athletic department feeling the squeeze of not having college sports and not having, you know, college football this fall, Ward Manuel announced yesterday afternoon that the department is eliminating 21 positions. 21 positions due to this potential revenue loss of $100 million. So Manuel's revenue loss projections came during a podcast that was released yesterday. He followed up hours later with a statement publicizing a round of nearly two dozen layoffs. The job losses come in addition to a previously announced hiring freeze that Michigan says has led to 15 unfilled positions since early 2020. The athletic department has also implemented, quote, comprehensive salary freezes and salary reductions ranging between 5 and 10% for most employees, while lowering operating and team budgets. Now, season ticket holders asked in August to make tax-deductible monetary donations as well. So you look at the University of Michigan, again, looking at a loss of $100 million. And again, I just thought about what other universities are going through. If the University of Michigan is going through that, you know, you better believe that cuts will be happening at Michigan State and at other universities as well. It's major. It's major. And again, look, it's all about the health and safety of individuals, and we can debate that back and forth. I really don't think that there is a debate, but the opinions vary. And it's so unfortunate that, yeah, the livelihoods of so many people are being affected right now due to the pandemic. But it's about being safe right now. No matter how tough it may be, it's about being safe right now, no matter how negative that ripple effect is financially, it's about being safe right now. All right, from that to a Lansing Lugnut story. The downtown home of the Luggies is switching names. It was announced yesterday that Jackson Field is now the new name of the minor league ballpark after the organization announced on Tuesday that it had entered a 7-year stadium naming rights agreement with Jackson National Life Insurance Company. Now, Jackson National Life, which is based in Lansing, has been affiliated with the Luggies since 2010 when it became a field-level sponsor in an 11-year deal for $1.353 million. Now, their logo has appeared on the stadium field near both dugouts. Jackson has donated $100 to a local nonprofit organization each time a Lugnuts player hits a home run during a home game during the affiliation. And since 2010, it has donated nearly $40,000 to area organizations through that practice. Very cool stuff. Now, Jackson Field is the third different name for the Lugnuts Stadium. It replaces Cooley Law School Stadium, which had been the park's name since 2010. This summer concludes the naming agreement with Cooley Law School, which had an 11-year contract for $1.48 million for the stadium rights. So no longer will we call it Cooley Law School Stadium after this summer. It will now be called Jackson Field. All right. It's all about the Benjamins, folks. Okay. The Big Ten. It has been reported that Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren had a telephone call with a pretty big name, a very big name, a name that we hear on a daily basis. The president of these United States of America, Donald Trump. Yes, Warren and Trump talked on Tuesday after a White House representative reached out about having discussions concerning how the conference can return to playing college football as soon as possible. While talking to reporters at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland on Tuesday, Trump said the call with Warren was, quote, very productive. Trump said, quote, I think it was very productive about getting the Big Ten playing again and immediately. Let's see what happens. He's a great guy. It's a great conference. Tremendous teams. We're pushing very hard. I think they want to play and the fans want to see it. And the players have a lot at stake, including possibly playing in the NFL. You have a lot of great players in that conference, end quote. Again, that's President Donald Trump speaking at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland yesterday about his chat with Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, trying to get college football played this fall. Or I should say, as President Trump noted, quote, immediately. Sources told ESPN that several plans are being considered by the Big Ten's Return to Competition Task Force, with the potential earliest start in late November around Thanksgiving. You'll get my thoughts on that in just a moment. Or early January, or later next spring. A Big Ten source told ESPN, quote, nothing has changed. Nothing. We have to get all the medical questions answered before we can even bring back a plan to the president's for approval, end quote. Later yesterday, Purdue president Mitch Daniels issued a statement that echoed that sentiment and reiterated that the Big Ten's decision to postpone fall sports, quote, was a collective one. So just let that sink in. Thoughts on that in just a moment as well. And the Detroit Tigers, how about this, Tigers fans? You know, I was so down on this team last week, but man, they are on a roll. Still fighting for a possible playoff spot. You know, that's not dead yet. The Tigers just keep on winning. Through Monday's 4 p.m. deadline, where clubhouse leader Cameron Maben was shipped to the Chicago Cubs for an infield prospect, brought to you guys that story yesterday. Through a boycotted game to protest racial inequality, and though an abnormal 60-game season, general manager Al Avila kept all but one member of his 28-man roster through the trade deadline, and they made a statement on Tuesday against the Milwaukee Brewers, securing a 12-1 dub at Miller Park. How about the Tigers, right? With the Toronto Blue Jays loss, the Tigers now sitting at 17-16, one game above 500, winners of six straight. They are now half a game in back of the AL's eighth and final spot in the playoffs with 27 games remaining. Pretty good position, right? The Tigers got a chance, folks. Detroit wraps up a two-game series with the Brewers today with righty Spencer Turnbull as the starter. He was supposed to start on Tuesday, but flipped spots with righty Michael Fulmer because of a stiff back. So it was a great, great blowout victory in favor of the Tigers yesterday. But there was some bad news as well. Tigers outfielder Jacoby Jones, he exited the game on Tuesday after taking a pitch from the Brewers' own Phil Bickford off the left hand. And it now turns out that Jones suffered a fracture and he is finito for the season. But the shining light is that Victor Reyes is playing very well. And he now moves to center. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Very unfortunate for Jacoby Jones, but Victor is playing some solid baseball right now. And again, the Tigers have a chance. All right. That's the thing about this 60-game shortened year. It is given a lot of teams a chance, some life. You just got to play solid baseball for 60 games, and you got a shot at just stepping on that dance floor. Stepping on the playoff dance floor, and that's all you want right now, right? Okay, Detroit Lions news. Less than 4 weeks after he said the uniqueness of this season had presented a lot of challenges to getting a deal done. Well, Lions left tackle Taylor Decker agreed to a 4-year extension with the Lions that the NFL Network reported is worth $60 million. How about that? Decker is one of two cornerstone Lions players entering training camp in the last year of his contract with hopes of striking a new deal before the season. The Lions are still working to finalize an extension with the other, that being wide receiver Kenny Golladay. Decker said last month that he and the team went through the courting phase this spring, with both declaring their desire for an extension. But until recently, little progress had been made. Now, Decker's agency on Tuesday tweeted news of the new deal, which it said includes $37.5 million in fully guaranteed money. Dollar bill, y'all. That's the thing about these NFL contracts. It is all about the guaranteed money. More and more players, as the years go by, are advocating for that guaranteed money. They want security. They want to see fully guaranteed money on the table. Regardless of what happens, whether it be injury or a drop-off in play, they want that money guaranteed to ensure that they're getting that moolah. Now, Decker was under contract this fall for $10.35 million. So, deal done. Taylor Decker is a game changer, and I'm glad that they did get that deal done. Okay, and this is a puzzling story. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, a former Michigan State quarterback is making headlines today due to comments that I think are just so nonsensical. They just don't add up to me. And I don't know why you would even. You can think. This is one of those statements that you can think. That you can say at home when you're with your family or when you're hanging out with your homies. But you can't say this publicly, especially when you have a status like you have now as a professional in the National Football League, when you have such a major platform, when lives are being lost on the daily, when we are still right in the middle of this pandemic, when kids are sitting at home beginning school, not able to attend physically in-person classes, and parents are struggling because they're trying to figure out, okay, how does this work with me still working and now having to guide my little one on a laptop in class? when the stress level is so high, when mental health is in jeopardy, I don't know how you can make a statement like this. Kirk Cousins is who I'm talking about. If you didn't add that up by now, if you haven't heard this story by now. Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, great. Now a quarterback, of course, in the National Football League, playing for the Minnesota Vikings, formerly of the Washington Football Club. Cousins says that he is taking a, quote, survival of the fittest personal approach to the coronavirus, even if it kills him. Kirk Cousins decided to quote a line from Rocky IV, stated by Ivan Drago. If I die, I die. Well, the line in Rocky was, if he dies, he dies. But you get my point. Quote, if I die, I die, said the Minnesota Vikings QB during a recent interview on Spotify's 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. Quote, I kind of have peace about that. Cousins indicated during the interview published today that he does not believe face masks work in helping to prevent the spread of COVID-19, but repeatedly said that he also tried to respect others' concerns about the virus. Brandt asked Cousins to rate his level of concern over contracting the virus on a 1 to 10 scale, with 1 being, quote, the person who says, masks are stupid. You're all a bunch of lemmings. And 10 being, quote, I'm not leaving my master bedroom for the next 10 years. Cousins replied to that question, quote, I'm not going to call anybody stupid for the trouble it would get me in. And let me just pause there. I mean, already saying if I die, I die. That kind of already puts you in some hot water if you didn't already know, Kirk. But let me go back to the quote. I'm not going to call anybody stupid for the trouble it would get me in, but I'm at about a 0.00001, end quote. Yes, Kirk Cousins actually said this. And look, I get it. There may be some out there listening right now saying, preach on, Kirk. Preach on. You are absolutely right, Kirk Cousins. This coronavirus is all a bunch of nonsense. This coronavirus is not going to affect my life. I'm going to wake up, live my life the way I've been living my life. I don't need no mask. Masks are stupid. I am not going to let this thing keep me sheltered in place. Preach on, Kirk Cousins. I'm sure that's what a lot of you are thinking right now. And the whole concept about the mask, it has been totally politicized. I can't really, that still blows my mind. When I turn on television and watch my 30 minutes of news a day, because I can't take any more, and I see people still looking at the mask as an issue. And studies are proving, statistics are proving right now that when you wear a mask, you help your fellow American, because you can, it just helps stop the spread in the atmosphere of the virus, where you may have it maybe asymptomatic and walking around with it and you may not know that you're spreading it. If you have on a mask, you aren't putting it out in the atmosphere like that. Anyway, do I really need to explain that? It's mind-blowing to me. But Kirk Cousins, I thought, was smarter than this. I thought he was. People are dying on the daily. And especially Kirk being the spiritual man that he is. I'm not going to lie. I'm very shocked at these comments. When I read this headline on ESPN this morning, I thought they were talking about a different Cousins. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, maybe? I don't know. Not Kirk. Can't be Kirk. Clicked. Boom. Kirk Cousins. But when people are dying every single day, when the numbers are still crazy in our nation, kids are still being homeschooled. If I die, I die. That's not the quote you want to hear from a man who has a platform like Kirk Cousins. Because, look, Kirk, you're a quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm pretty sure a lot of your fans out there in Minnesota, there are some fans out there who may have a loved one who has passed away from the virus, or a loved one who is currently struggling in a hospital bed due to the virus, or they themselves may be struggling with the virus. And to hear the starting quarterback of their favorite football team say, "If I die, I die," that's got to be a bit unsettling. Kirk is going to regret this. I can see Kirk issuing a statement later on today. Again, I'm speaking to you all right now this morning, 15 minutes before 11 a.m. as I record this edition of WKAR's Current Sports on this Wednesday, September 2nd. I could see maybe by the time that this airs at 1 p.m., Kirk putting out a tweet apologizing for his insensitivity. Kirk releasing some kind of statement, his publicist saying, "Hey, you got to put this out right now." There may already be an apology issue right now as you're listening to this. And if there isn't, one is coming. One will be coming. Okay, folks? I just think he just stuck his foot totally in his mouth. And you just got to be really careful what you say today, man. We're already living in this cancel culture that is 2020. And then you add in the pandemic and the ripple effect that has had on so many different lives, health and financial wise. Sports not taking place. I mean, there is just so much. You just have to really be careful about what you say. All right, with that being said, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I just want to elaborate more on the report that came out that there are 8 people that are listed in a report who failed to report Larry Nassar and William Strample. And also, I'll talk about a possible Thanksgiving start for the Big Ten. Is that realistic? Is that realistic? Is that something you would want to see? I'm curious. Would you want to see a Thanksgiving start for the Big Ten Conference? Holla at me. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Call. Leave us a voicemail there. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment anywhere on that page, and I'll read it on tomorrow's Current Sports. And those who leave voice messages, I'll have to, of course, roll those in on tomorrow's Current Sports. I actually got one that I need to roll in, and I was supposed to roll in yesterday, but didn't get a chance to, or I forgot to. you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I really hope everybody out there, is having a great, great hump day. It is Wednesday, September 2nd. And normally we would be talking about college football, right? The start of the Michigan State football season, Mel Tucker in his first year, the beginning of the Mel Tucker era. But no. Mm-mm. We are in the midst of a pandemic. The Big Ten has canceled all fall sports, or I should say postponed all fall sports to the spring of 2021. But there are conversations that are still having, specifically as it pertains to the big money grabber in college sports, that being college football, right? College football. We all want it. We all miss it. You know, I talked to you about how at the beginning of the show, 3 years ago today, you know, I had snapped a photo on Facebook of myself sitting in the press box looking down at the season opener for the Michigan State football season, and no, that's not happening this year. Pretty wild, right? So the Big Ten is still kicking around ideas as to how to return safely. And one of the possible ideas that have been discussed, apparently, maybe a Thanksgiving start. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah, the Big Ten made headlines. Last week is actually when that story gained a lot of traction. And look, other major conferences like the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, they have confirmed that they will still begin play in mid to late September. Yes, this month is when they're going to start, but it's inevitable. Look, college football, those conferences may start during that time, but you better believe there are going to be outbreaks. I'm sorry. This is not like the NBA bubble. If you had a system where you could legitimately pull off some kind of bubble, then it would work. But the sheer mass of a college football roster doesn't allow you to do that. It's impossible to pull off a bubble. So with that being said, I mean, you got these teams traveling. You're talking about college football players who are still young adults who want to get out and live their lives. Because Gen Z and my generation, millennials, they still want to turn up. It's still college. You better believe it. Do you really have confidence that these college athletes are going to be on their best behavior? I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. You know what I mean? So I look at this and I just say to myself, it's just nonsensical, but you know, the SEC, the ACC, and Big 12 are still going to do this. They're going to get canceled. They're going to get postponed until next year. And when it comes to the Big Ten, again, the Big Ten is, you know, was said to possibly be looking at a Thanksgiving start. Now, that really makes no sense to me. It really does. I mean, it's September 2nd right now. Thanksgiving isn't that far away, folks. You know, we got all of September, all of October, the majority of November. I mean, what, 2 months and some change? I just don't understand. Why would you start a season in 2 months when it will essentially be the same risk as if it were to begin when it was previously scheduled? I don't understand the thinking behind that. And in fact, as of September 1st, as of yesterday, Penn State has already reported 73 positive cases across all campuses since returning to classes on Monday, August 24th. I'll read that again. As of yesterday, Penn State has already reported 73 positive tests across all campuses since returning to classes in late August, August 24th to be exact. I mean, come on, man. And even if, and this is another factor you got to think about, even if the Big Ten's biggest concern is money being made from television viewership, because yes, that is a big conversation. That's a big reason why a lot of people in high positions in college football want to see at least an attempt of fall football. They don't want to lose out on money. A lot of money's on the line here. And they don't want to see money taken out of their wallets. That's the big thing about this. So even if the Big Ten's biggest concern is money being made from TV viewership, wouldn't the national audience be much more likely to watch the top teams in the country fight for a college football playoff berth in late November rather than flipping on Nebraska versus Rutgers, that opener on the Big Ten Network? I don't get it, man. I don't get it. But, you know, it's just so aggravating because, oh, boy. You look at Thanksgiving, and again, how is much going to change in that time? You know, and we're still having conversations about a vaccine. You know, Russia actually just approved a vaccine, but a lot of people there said that I'm not taking that because they don't trust it. And there haven't been a lot of trials done that really lay out what are the possible effects of me putting that in my body. You know, I just don't get it. The Big Ten would not be doing itself a favor by starting the season in Thanksgiving. You know, and it would be a contradiction. You know, if they began in November, it would be a contradiction because, again, not much is going to change, if anything is going to change. Not much is going to change come Thanksgiving. So if you start on Thanksgiving, you're basically admitting that, yeah, we were wrong. Yeah, forget what we stated. We're just going to start in November. You could have started in September. You could be playing right now. And college football players could be infecting each other left and right. And it's still not known. You know, we've seen how other sports are reacting to the coronavirus and competition against one another. But, you know, football is a very physical sport. We've seen basketball. You know, in the MLB, there has to be an efficient testing method, right? And they're doing that right now. You know, and the MLB almost had a scare because they're still traveling. The MLB is not in the bubble. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But, I mean, football is a very physical sport. These guys are tackling, pushing, jawing at each other through face masks. I mean, that sounds like heaven. For the coronavirus. I just don't get it, man. So I don't understand. I don't think we're going to see, you know, it's a thought. It's a thought, entertaining discussion, but it's not going to happen. I think it's going to happen in January. I think they're going to try and give this thing a go in January and go from there. But Thanksgiving, I don't understand that. Do not understand that, man. So, it seems very ambitious. You know, Paul Feinbaum, you know, he ripped the Big Ten for even considering a Thanksgiving start date. Paul Feinbaum went off. Other analysts out there are also saying the same thing. So, hey, I just wanted to let that be known. I think the idea is ludicrous. Ludicrous. All right. No, I'm not talking about the rapper. All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on today's current sports by just touching on the 8 people that failed to report Larry Nassar and William Strample and what it says, what we could all learn, I should say, from this. All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to this Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I am coming to you all on this Wednesday. Just a few minutes left here, actually about just a couple minutes left. And I want to just say the names of the individuals who reportedly could have done something, could have spoken up about Larry Nassar's abuse, about William Strample and his abuse, because these individuals need to have that spotlight put on them, that negative spotlight put on them. Kelly Burt, Liana Hayden, Christopher Hanisch, David Yeager, Kathy Klages, Dr. Jeffrey Kovan, Brooke Lemon, Tori Lindley, and there's more, also named here, Dr. Christine Lazinski, Thomas McElwick, Zach Moakel, Nancy Naradze, Anthony Robles, Lionel Rosen, Gary Stolick, Hannah Shai Trevitti, Destiny Treacher Hawk. It's a lesson to all of us, folks. If you see something, if you have an idea, a thought, based on something that you've seen or heard, you got to speak up. You got to speak up. It's a lesson for us all, right? All right. I'll see you on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be well, be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.